Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson. And for the past couple days, we've been discussing the Mormon doctrine of the family and how Mormon families are supposed to be forever. And we were discussing some interesting differences between the Mormon view of the hereafter and, of course, the biblical world of the hereafter. And we were mentioning, Eric, about some of the statements by Mormon leaders that when a Mormon is qualified to be exalted or to inherit godhood, as they understand it, individual salvation, they will also be able to create and organize their own worlds, and they will send their offspring to these worlds. And you had mentioned how Orson Pratt said that these offspring would in turn worship them as God, much in the same way that Mormons are now worshiping Elohim as God. Orson Pratt, for instance, said, so will we rise immortal males and females and beget children, and in our turn form and create worlds, and send forth our spirit children to inherit those worlds, the same as we were sent here. And thus will the works of God continue, and not only God himself and his Son Jesus Christ have the power of endless lives, but all of his redeemed offspring. So this is something that I think many Mormons look forward to. And I have talked with Latter-day Saints, and there seems to be a difference of opinion among some of them. I have talked to some Mormons who admit freely that they are going to be creating children in the next life, this doctrine known as eternal increase. But when we were visiting that visitor center and talking to the sister missionaries about what are you going to be doing in the next life, why do you need this family unit, even though they wouldn't clearly explain to us what they thought they would be doing, there were some things that this one sister missionary said she wasn't going to be doing, and she brought the subject up twice. We never mentioned it.
Yeah,
well,
she says that there would be no sexual union in heaven, and I'm sure they probably get that question asked a lot at a visitor center. There will be people coming in and coming up with all the things that they've heard, and where do you guys perform sexual acts in the temple, or whatever they say. Right. You know, people come up with
which
all
certainly
these.
Certainly does not happen.
Absolutely. Those are false rumors, obviously. So I'm sure they have to answer this all the time. But she's the one that brought it up. There will be no sexual union. And then she, as you said, she stated it again. We never even brought the issue up. So it was obviously something very sensitive with her.
Right. We did want to know, though, what their opinion was as far as what they felt they would be doing. Because as we know, and we talk to our Mormon friends, they all believe that families are forever. And they talk about it being in this family unit, usually mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, kids, grandkids. When I asked the one sister missionary, the older one, she gave the impression, because I asked her, well, how far does this family unit go? And she says, well, into eternity. Well, if you're going to take it that way, wouldn't then that be every single human being that was ever created on this planet? I mean, how big is this house? You know, how many bedrooms are in this house that you hope to live in the next life?
Well, that's not the image they gave in the video we just saw.
No.
Bill. When we saw the video, we were seeing a grandparent or grandparents, and you saw the children of the parents of the children that were there. So you see three different generations that are talked about there, and so that's not the image that this family that's being talked about is an eternal family that goes back to Adam.
Yeah. Now, getting back to this, well, what are you going to be doing up there? What is the importance of a family unit? I kept asking that question. I had to keep bringing them back because they would go off on all these rabbit trails. And you remember, I asked the question. All of a sudden, she's talking about the first vision. You know, I think I was being militant here. I was giving the answer to the question I should have asked.
That's a great strategy, though, Bill. When you don't want to get on a topic, you change subjects. And so for those Christians who are out there who want to share their faith, don't allow that to happen. And we kept trying to reel them in, as we would say, and they didn't want to answer that question. In fact, the one sister missionary, the younger one, said, you know, wanting us to get off this topic, well, we'll find out when we get there as to what heaven's going to be like, but we just want to know, what did they think our heaven was going to be like, and what was their heaven like? They would not get into details.
Well, this idea about begetting children, and as we've seen, Orson Pratt made that very clear. Where did Orson Pratt get this teaching? Where did Mormon apostle Orson Pratt get the idea that a Mormon, when they become a god, is going to be able to beget children and have his own worlds and send his spirit children to those worlds? Well, it actually goes back to Joseph Smith, folks. This doctrine is known as eternal increase. Joseph Smith taught, and you can find this very easily in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, pages 300 and 301. He said, "Except a man and his wife enter into an everlasting covenant and be married for eternity while in this probation..." Mm-hmm. "While in this probation, by the power and authority of the holy priesthood, they shall cease to increase when they die. That is, they will not have any children after the resurrection. So if you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't get married for eternity while in this probation, you will not have the ability to procreate after this life is over." Now, Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church, he also said in his book, Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 4, page 146, "Naturally, if men and women, when they marry, become members of the family of God and are entitled to the blessings of eternal increase after the resurrection, the ordinance and covenant of marriage must be by divine authority." So certainly it is a part of their teaching.
And he also says in Church History and Modern Revelation, in 1953, Volume 2, pages 357 and 358, Joseph Fielding Smith says, "The doctrine of the eternity of the marriage covenant and the continuation of the seeds forever and ever is one of the most glorious principles of the gospel. It is, in fact, the crowning principle which brings the fullness of exaltation to men and women who are willing to accept this eternal, holy, and sacred ordinance. It is only in the celestial kingdom that the privilege of marriage and eternal increase may be found."
So what about this statement that we were told by this young missionary, that there is no sexual relationships in the next life? If they are going to be begetting children, then how is it being done? By test tube? I mean, how is it being done? I have a hard time thinking that Joseph Smith, when he was describing eternal increase, was looking at it some kind of mechanical, scientific method, rather than the normal, natural method that he probably was very accustomed with at that time, and we are accustomed with right now. But that raises the question, well, what about this? Is there really going to be sex in the hereafter? Well, according to some Mormon leaders, there certainly is.
And that's, again, we come back to the one sister missionary who denied that very strongly. And you would think that she would have had some kind of knowledge. Why, Bill, they're denying that when, I mean, just read some of the quotes that you have there about how sex is really a part of this whole thing.
This is actually a statement by a Mormon apostle by the name of John Witzo in his book Rational Theology, the 1915 edition, page 64. He says, "Sex among the gods, sex which is indispensable on this earth for the perpetuation of the human race, is an eternal quality which has its equivalents everywhere. It is indestructible. The relationship between men and women is eternal and must continue eternally. In accordance with gospel philosophy, there are males and females in heaven. Since we have a Father who is our God, we must also have a Mother who possesses the attributes of Godhood. This simply carries onward the logic of things earthly and conforms with the doctrine that whatever is on this earth is simply a representation of spiritual conditions of deeper meaning than we can here fathom." He went on to say in that same book on page 146, "Eternity of sex. It has already been said that sex is an eternal principle. The equivalent of sex, dimly understood by man, has always existed and will continue forever. Since sex then represents an eternal condition, the begetting of children is coincidentally an eternal necessity." So this idea for this sister missionary to say that that wasn't going to be part of the program, she certainly is not speaking the same kind of things that we hear when we read the teachings of the Mormon leadership.
Well, a lot of Mormons out there might be thinking we're trying to sensationalize this. I don't believe that we are. Very clearly, this is being taught. And I think for
those... Or at least has been taught, that's for sure.
Well, certainly. And so correct us from current teaching if we're wrong on this. If it's changed, we haven't seen it as we've studied these things. But I think a lot of Mormons say, well, it's done in a moral way. I mean, Daniel Ludlow is a BYU professor, and he wrote this companion to your study of the Doctrine and Covenants, Volume 2, page 267. Here's what he says. Eternal life means returning to the Lord's exalted presence and enjoying the privilege of eternal increase, what we've been talking about. According to his revealed word, the only acceptable sexual relationship occurs within the family between a husband and a wife. Well, I mean, whether it's between a husband and a wife, we believe in moral marriage, of course, but the idea is so foreign to the Bible that there's any kind of sexuality taking place, of sex happening between even husbands and wives into the next world.
Well, certainly it puts a lot of teachings into kind of a perspective that have been taught in the past. Just even when it comes to the incarnation of Jesus, there were many Mormon leaders, and we could spend a whole show on that, many Mormon leaders that actually taught that God, who has a body of flesh and bones, actually came down and physically impregnated Mary. There's so many statements that support that, and to hear Mormons deny it makes me think, don't they even try to read some of their own material? But if that's the case, and sex has been in the eternities, we have to assume that when we were created as spirit children of God, as Mormons understand, there must have been a sexual act involved in that too. And of course, if Mary was a creation of that sexual act in the pre-existence as a spirit child of God, then we also have an incestuous relationship going on with his own daughter, you know, in this mortality of hers that gave us the Mormon Jesus. And of course, we as Christians find this horribly offensive. And I've actually read some statements from some Mormon apostle where they say, well, they don't understand why that bothers us so much. Well, good grief. That's a terrible connection that they're making there. But it does tend to show that this element is certainly a part of not only the pre-existence, but it's a part of the Mormon future as well. So for the sister missionary to say, well, that's not going to be a part of it, I can only hope she was speaking from ignorance and maybe just giving her
own opinion.
Or just
a tactic. I think it's more of a tactic.
It could have been a tactic just to get us off the subject, and we weren't even going there. I just wanted to know, basically, what is your idea of the hereafter? What do you think you're going to be doing, and why is a family unit so important outside of the fact that you just want to be with people that you were familiar with and loved here on Earth? So anyway, hope you enjoyed this segment, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.